A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The NFL preseason kicks off in less than 1 month, and lucky for you, the VSiN experts have been hard at work this offseason putting together our new NFL betting guide. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get instant access to comprehensive team profiles with power ratings and win total predictions, proven betting systems and trends like how to win with our betting splits, plus top picks for season win totals, futures props, and awards like MVP and Rookie of the Year. To access this invaluable guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. For a limited time, we're offering an unbeatable deal. Get a full year of VSiN Pro for just $199 instead of the usual $240. And as a special bonus, we'll add an extra month for free. That's 13 months of access to everything VSiN offers, including daily best bets, round-the-clock video content, premium analysis, exclusive betting splits data, and all our special edition betting guides to keep you informed and winning throughout the year. Don't miss out on our all-new NFL betting guide and this fantastic offer. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe and use promo code ANG.
ANG like a numbers game, and it's a brand-new graphic.
Hey, there you go. Get 13 months of VSiN Pro for only $199. Gain instant access to our NFL betting guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe with promo code ANG.
ANG like a new graphic.
Oh, look at you.
Boom! Firing on all cylinders today.
This guy.
I got my D task force over here working on a door battery being broken.
Oh, yeah, because it's making that beep all the time.
Yeah, it's like with a smoke alarm when you need to change the batteries in your smoke alarm.
Yeah, we're playing hurt. We're playing hurt every day here.
I've recruited an elite task force around here, though.
Oh. Well.
People I trust the most.
You've got your people.
I got my people.
We get tweets of beating the book. John B. Not that John B., but another one. White Sox came through plus 750 yesterday again. Up after five, lose the game parlay. Thanks for the info. Yeah, that was our big thing on the Beating the Book podcast again.
It's incredible.
Not that we revealed that the White Sox bullpen sucked. Everybody knew that. But the fact that they were so good in the first fives and not good thereafter, how many times did that hit? And when we did the podcast last week, it had been 16 times that the White Sox had already done that at an average price of 7-1 or plus 750. They have done it three times since.
I was going to say at least twice that I know of.
So you think about the math on that. You're literally coming up. If you had just bet this every single day blindly, the wins would have you up almost 150 units. And then even if you threw all the losses back, you're still up nearly 100. Well, what was it, like 70, 80 units. It's just an incredible bet. And it's one of those where I said on the podcast, I think it's sustainable. The whole point of those Q2, those quarterly derivatives pods is what is sustainable and what is not. I don't think it changes. I think the White Sox continue to be good in the first five and then continue to suck.
Well, at least if you don't want to trust the White Sox every day first five, you could do the stupid, like I used to live bet the Dodgers right on primetime action. Just wait for the White Sox to get up. Like whenever they do it, just go on the other side.
Trust the glove thinks I was being political when I said America. Yeah, trust the glove. Maybe you're the one being political. Good God. Trip Tepper, the collective gaslighting by soccer analysts across the various TV platforms is really something. They acted like that Copa semi last night needed to be an exhibit at the Louvre. I completely agree. Again, I could read it all day with him, with Lexi's quotes, but the passion, oh, the passion. Johnny Ringo, easy fix for faking injuries in soccer. If play stops for a downed player, they come out of the game. John, I don't know what John Massey's talking about here. SN Wright, tennis man sends soccer boys to bed. Oh, really? SN Wright, you think soccer's more exciting than tennis? Okay. New York Mets 16. Let's just say we disagree. New York Mets 16. How does the passion of football compare to the passion of finding out your sushi spot? And then primetime, yo, Gil, you want passion? Show him video of Kelly typing out an email. So true. The man bangs a keyboard with his fingers in a way that cannot be described.
Gotta punch those keys.
Yeah,
gotta make them count.
Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can find him on Twitter at BettingOnX, and he's having a much better Wimbledon than Drew and me are having, that's for sure. Zach Cohen, everybody. How you doing?
Doing well. I didn't have the best Wimbledon. My futures went up in flames just like yours. That Madison Keys one just destroyed me.
Yeah, but it's more than the futures. Like, I'm watching this match right here. You had Vekic plus a set and a half. You laid a good juice on that, but you got there. She won the first set against Paolini. This is the first of the two women's semis, by the way, where they're split. Vekic won the first set 6-2. Paolini won the second 6-4. If Donna Vekic gets to the Wimbledon finals a year after Marketa Vondrousova wins it, good God, man. We need to all punt on this tournament from now on.
Either punts or just take some massive long shots, honestly. Like, if it's going to be like this every year, we better be on the right side of it.
It's just incredible. Who do you have now? The second semifinal is Elena Rybakina and Barbora Krejcikova. Rybakina, a prohibitive favorite. What did you do with that match?
I took Krejcikova plus 1.5 sets. I got it at plus 125. It's still out there at plus money. I just think that we're underrating her a little bit because of these last two seasons, which have been injury riddled for her. Like, she was once a top five player in the game. She's good on grass. So she's been to finals on this surface, is a Grand Slam champion. She won in 2021 at the French Open. I just think she has a really tricky game for power players, which we saw, you know, in her wins over Danielle Collins and Yelena Ostapenko. This will be a little different. Rybakina's, you know, bigger and a little bit better than those two, but I think that it stands that, like, if you get that slice shot low enough and, you know, really change up the height of the ball, it's going to throw her off a little bit. And I just can't get over the fact that, like, we saw Rybakina lay an egg against Paolini in the quarterfinals at the French Open as a big favorite, you know, just a month ago. So I feel like seeing her with all these expectations right now, Krejcikova has no, you know, expectations whatsoever. I think that's going to play a factor in the match.
I couldn't agree with you more. I took Krejcikova plus the games, and I also took a flyer on her on the money line at plus, what it ended up being, 377 or something like that. Again, VSiN.com/picks for everybody, every host, every guest, every sports plays for VSiN subscribers. Just raw data, just to back you up here. Rybakina this year, I mean, besides Ziga, had the best grass numbers, right? Last year of grass, which is, again, not a huge sample size, but she's at 111 talking service points and return points percentage one, which again is elite. But Barbora Krejcikova, if you go back 2 years, she's probably third. She's at 108. So yeah, the injuries, this will come down to, will, you know, will those numbers manifest giving Krejcikova more than a puncher's chance, or will Rybakina's sheer power just blow it away? I tend to think the former, like you.
Yeah, and Krejcikova's 2-0 against her in the past. I mean, one of those matches had a third set tiebreaker, you know, not a real match. So if you want to throw it out, like, that's fine. I understand that. But the other one, you know, was a really close match on indoor hard courts in 2022 towards the end of the year. That was when Krejcikova was not playing very well and Rybakina was. So, you know, I think that she's shown that she can stand up to that serve and just play with her from the baseline. So I thought that that was a really good price to get the set at plus money. I don't have a problem with the games, and I do think she's live in the match.
Yeah, here comes Jasmine Paolini, by the way, up a break now in the deciding set against Donna Vekic. Paolini trying to reach her second consecutive slam final. Remember, she got beat handily by Iga over the French Open. All right, have you had a chance to look at the men's semis tomorrow?
I have all my semifinal previews up at VSiN.com right now, so I dove into all of them.
What do you got?
I have Medvedev plus 5.5 games. I laid a little bit more juice than I would have taken if I took 4.5, but I like to be protected if, you know, it's one tiebreaker and then two, you know, 6-4 or 7-5. So I took Medvedev with the games. I just think that Alcaraz has looked a little shaky to me. I know that he got by Tommy Paul in a match that I did think Tommy would have a chance in, but I don't know. Alcaraz's serve has just been a nightmare throughout this tournament, and I think that Medvedev is one of the best returners in the world. I think he'll make him pay for it if he's not hitting his spots, and I think Medvedev is a much better server than his numbers suggest this season, so if he does go up a break, I think he'll be able to hold on to it, and I just trust Medvedev to make adjustments. He's lost to Alcaraz two matches in a row. I think he'll come out here with a different strategy. We saw him beat Sinner after losing five matches in a row to him. Like, he's a master strategist on the court, and I think that people are just kind of taking him a little lightly. I don't think that he's that much worse than the current big three in the sport. I think he's right there with them.
Yeah, I think I think I tend to forget about him, you know, because he's not you don't think of him in that big three, but he is right on the cusp for sure at all times. And the Alcaraz thing is interesting, because if Alcaraz ends up winning this tournament, you could make the case it's two slams in a row where he's like not even close to his best that he wins, and then you're like, oh my God, this guy's banking slams without even playing well. So there's that to watch. What about Djokovic and Musetti? Djokovic with the extra rest, of course.
I ended up going with Musetti plus 2.5 sets in that match. I really had a hard time playing it. Djokovic was just such a heavy favorite. But I do think Musetti, you know, the last two times they've played each other at majors, Musetti's won two sets. I think he knows that if he plays well, you know, he can compete with him. It's just going to be harder on grass, obviously. I do feel like an idiot I wrote a story saying not to bet Djokovic at plus 400 before the draw came out. And then that draw was released. And, man, he played absolutely nobody. He also looks healthier than he has all season right now. That match against Holger Rune was a clinic. So Djokovic is playing well right now. Definitely looks like he has a real shot at winning the tournament. But I think Musetti to win one set seems pretty reasonable.
Well, I mean, that's why I say, like, of course he has the right, because on his half of the bracket, we said this yesterday, Dimonor pulled out, Orkots got hurt, Zverev got hurt, right, against Fritz. This tournament, more than any, has been, if you could have figured out who was going to get hurt, ill, or gassed, that would be the primary handicap throughout this entire tournament. I've never seen a tournament like this where those three things have come every day in some form.
My friend texted me saying that they're playing on the MetLife Stadium grass.
That's a great call. Thank you, Zach. Good luck with all the bets, man. Let's go Krejcikova.
Thanks, guys.
My man, Zach Cohen. Betting on X does such great work. Our guides, VSiN.com, on a daily basis. We'll come back. Major League Baseball Exacta's got to play next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, staring at screens here, so pardon me when I miss something behind Kelly. It is actually Donna Vekic who is up a break in the third set. So Donna Vekic on the cusp of getting to a Wimbledon final. My goodness. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Jason H11, congrats to Kelly on the D-Gen Gambler win. You are one step closer to Gilly coming back from break with no Kelly because he's at Sigma Derby screaming the four horse on. Let's go. Trust the Glove said he was, I was referring to the Tonight Show bit by Johnny Carson doing an editorial as Floyd R. Turbo. You never do politics or mock people. My bad. Okay, I'm sorry, Trust the Glove. I misunderstood. Gil's Sushi, formerly Rick Olier, says, fantastic interview yesterday. I assume he's referring to Deanna Cologne. He says, since Kelly has proven himself to be king of all bookers, what can we put the odds on an interview with Bob Seger? Perhaps he can play like a rock in person instead of the deafening speaker blaring it overhead. Sorry about that. The numbers, guys. Must-watch semifinal has me tuning into ANG. That's a numbers game for the first time this morning. Sorry, put me in the penalty box. And Peter Watry, I seldom watch tennis, but bet and watched Fritz yesterday. I was shocked at his mental game and how he had to show on his face every emotion of frustration with his play. His previous victory versus the German, talking about Sasha Zverev, was so great. Needs Tom Brady or Roger's composure. This has been the thing about this tournament. I've never witnessed a tournament like this, where from one match to another, the level of performance swings so much from one player to the next. Like I said with Zach, injuries, illness, and just getting gassed, those ended up being the three biggest handicaps of this tournament. There's no way you could have figured out any of them.
I didn't. We were watching that a little bit yesterday while we were still here. I didn't turn it back on when I got home. I was shocked last night when I saw that he had lost.
He lost, all right, after beating Sasha.
And yeah, like you said, he looked great there. The other one I cut on Drew Dinsick's pod this morning, Bet the Edge, him bringing up that Krejcikova, I did not know this. And like this, God bless you guys for trying to predict this stuff. But what, she didn't play on grass for like 4 years?
That's correct.
Like dodged the surface for years of her career.
It's easy to dodge grass because it's so quick. It's 5 or 6 weeks. So you can do it.
Like, that's wild. But
Marketa Vondrousova won Wimbledon last year. Right. She had won two grass matches before it.
It's insane.
Her entire grass record, she's two matches under 500. She won Wimbledon. So, Krejcikova, good luck.
She's got cool tattoos.
Yes, she does. Larry Fresh. By the way, Deanna Cologne went over big yesterday. I'll just read some more. Larry Fresh. I'm taking a summer college math class in the morning, so I'm still doing numbers, but I've been listening to the podcast replays. Great job, guys, with Deanna. Also sad I'll miss Crack today if we can get him out of the mirage. We shall see. Derp, Jardians is really swell. A little pill with a big story to tell. What a segment. Deanna was great. Steve the Proxy, I just listened on demand. Great Jardians interview. Next on the radar for random non-sports betting-related interviews has to be Milana Weintraub from AT&T. Her parents migrated to the U.S. as refugees of anti-Semitism. Maybe she can be the next. All right. And then Joby, the interview today with Jardians commercial legend Deanna Cologne. Maybe the best segment in the Gil Alexander cinematic universe since The Love Zone.
The Love Zone. God, I miss The Love Zone. Oh, man. Anyway, we just could never, we couldn't do it after Danielle left. It just became a little weird. Yeah.
A little weird after Danielle left. Yeah. All right. And Major League Exactas, we were doing with Paul Sporer. Those were by division. DraftKings has American League Championship Series exact outcome, National League Championship Series exact outcome. So which team beats which team in each respective league? Now, you got to know, obviously, you got to project who's going to make the playoffs. More important than that is you have to be able to project who's going to be the number one and two seed, who's going to be the third seed, who's going to be the wild cards. Because if you end up in the same part of the bracket, if you will, then you're screwed on this. So let's do the National League first, where I don't like the bets as much as I do in the American League. But in the National League right now, you have a situation where the Phillies are six games clear of the number two best team. And that's really a dogfight between the Dodgers and the Brewers right now for who ends up as the number two seed. If it started right now, I think the Dodgers have like a half game lead over the Brewers, if I'm not mistaken. So you have to sort of project, all right, let's just say you assume the Phillies will end up as the number one seed. Okay, if that's the case, what you want to do then is not, obviously, making a Brewers-Dodgers play right now ain't the move. Maybe you think there's another team in the National League of the wild cards that could actually sneak in, particularly the Atlanta Braves, right? If the Atlanta Braves end up as a wild card, the issue becomes then, though, that if they end up as the fourth seed or the number one wild card team, the winner of the 4-5 ends up playing the number one seed in the next round. So a Phillies-Braves situation, assuming you don't think the Braves will fall all the way to the sixth seed, betting a Phillies-Braves thing isn't really the move here either in the National League. Does that make sense? Because
yep.
You won't meet in the National League Championship Series. So looking for value on the National League side of things is kind of problematic, quite frankly, because you'd have to have the sense, like, let's take the Braves and the Phillies at 25-1, or the Phillies to beat the Braves. Either one of those, Phillies to beat Braves or Braves to beat Phillies, both of those are 25-1. But again, you have to anticipate that they would meet all the way in the championship series, and the way that it looks now, unless you think the Braves are going to collapse and will just squeak in as the sixth seed and then we'll play well. Because you're looking for, you know, good pitching rotation, obviously, in a best of three and a best of five, but it doesn't work out right now as it looks as we head into the All-Star break. So I don't have a bet in the National League Championship Series exact outcome market because I'm certainly not playing anything short, right? It's not worth it to try to, oh, Dodgers sure. to beat Phillies, Phillies to beat Dodgers, which are plus 450 and 6-1 respectively. Or even, now maybe you go outside of the box. Maybe you think, well, here's what I think, Gil. I think the Dodgers will get there as the number two seed, but I do think the Braves will end up the four seed and they will beat everybody to get to play the Dodgers. Well, if you think that, it's still not that sexy, right? The Dodgers beating the Braves is plus 850. The Braves beating the Dodgers is 11-1. I don't like any of them.
Yeah, what's the Braves price just to win the NL at this point? Wouldn't you just?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
You should go to another market. So I don't like any of these. Phillies, Brewers, Dodgers, Brewers. Again, it's tough to figure out in the National League if there's a bet that's worth your while. In the American League, though, I would say it's a different story. I think in the American League, you could actually justify a bet. And quite frankly, Kelly, I may make one here
nice.
If we have it in town.
Probably not.
So, you know, this is for you guys who might want to bet it over at DraftKings. So right now in the American League, in terms of seeding, the Orioles only two games ahead of the Yankees in the East. The Guardians right there with the best record as well, right, in the American League. So you have to figure out who you think is going to be, you know, first of all, who you think is going to win the East. That's the first thing. Will they have a better record than the Guardians? Now, I can tell you as a guy who had the Guardians in March, April, and in the May markets of most wins, that the reason, one of the big reasons I bet the Guardians in those months was because their schedule was so easy in those months. So moving forward, the Guardians have the second most difficult schedule in the rest of, in baseball, in Major League Baseball, second most difficult schedule the rest of the way. So I think you, for the purposes of this, you can assume, you know what they say about assuming, but for the purposes of this conversation, you assume that the AL East winner will have the number one record. Maybe you feel that by the way, it doesn't matter if a wild card team has a better record than a division winner. It's always 1, 2, 3 in terms of division winners, in terms of the seeding. So the Guardians will probably end up as the number two seed if you think they win the AL Central. And then the AL West winner right now is significantly lower in terms of their in the standings as the that 1 and 2. And if you believe the Astros, as I do, and as so many do, will end up winning the West, but will probably end up being a three seed. Again, these are all, there's so many moving parts, but let's just go with that. Then I do think you have some bets here. For instance, off the board, not even pictured, right? Orioles to beat Astros. Astros, well, we do see Astros to beat Orioles at 22-1. Because again, if the Orioles are the one seed and the Astros are the three, they could absolutely meet in the championship series.
Same price.
And there you have, same price. So Astros to beat Orioles, Orioles to beat Astros, both 22-1. That might be worth a bet. Like that to me, unlike all the National League ones, you could get me to bet that. How do you, you know, how does that get torpedoed? Well, if the Yankees overcome the Orioles, then the Orioles end up, let's say, as the four seed. They would take on the Astros as the three seed far too early for the American League Championship Series. That's how that gets beat. So you, with these markets, it's the reason that these markets are kind of cool is because you have, it's multi-level handicapping. You have to figure out what your regular season opinion is, where they end up in seeding, and can they actually meet then in the championship series. So it's a hard bet to hit because you have to be on the correct side of the bracket in each case. But I do think if you made me bet, if you said, what's the best bet? I think it's Astros over Orioles or Orioles over Astros in the ALCS at 22-1. That'd be my play.
Yeah, you don't, like the longer ones almost make sense, right? Because there's more, there's still so much time left in the season where those, the bracket could switch, right?
The bracket could switch.
Yeah.
The Yankees are only two behind the Orioles that could torpedo right now, by the way.
Right.
Astros Yankees, though, would be longer. Those two, Astros to beat Yankees, Yankees to beat Astros, longer than 22-1, longer than the Astros Orioles combinations. So, depending on what your handicap is, there is a bet to be made on the American League side, I believe. Not so much on the National League. We'll come back. We'll talk more about those NFL last winless odds next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. You know, I rifle through where people take us in at the top of every hour. And I mentioned Game Plus, and I just, you know, I just roll through it. Mm-hmm. We just had a gentleman, Frank, from Squamish, which is an hour north of Vancouver in British Columbia, who watches us on Game Plus every day, says he records us when he can. And he was just in here saying hello to us.
I'm flying back with him. Looks gorgeous up there.
It looks gorgeous.
It's too hot.
Here's the thing. I knew Game Plus, like, in Ontario and down Toronto into New York. I knew folks were watching us there. But he's saying, no, it's national, and he's watching in British Columbia, for goodness sake. So,
shout out to Canada.
Are some of our best listeners, if not our best?
Yeah.
What'd you say?
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
No disrespect to anybody else. We have drama here in this semifinal. Donna Vekic staved off a match point. Jasmine Paolini had a match point, but it was on Vekic's racket. And here at 5-5 in the decider, Vekic openly weeping on the court. I don't know if it's an injury or an illness or what, because we're doing a show, so I haven't been able to necessarily know what's going on. But she is like, she was wiping tears away, and now we have a deuce situation on Paolini's racket. So this is going down to the wire to get to the Wimbledon final. But I don't know what's going on with Vekic there.
Yeah, I'm trying to search Twitter. But
Twitter.
Not seeing much.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what this means. It's that time of the week. Unscripted with the Crackman, Bill Krakenberger.
Good morning, guys.
What's happening?
You know, it's funny because I don't know tennis that good. I know someone else that's openly weeping. So can you bet that's the, what's her name, Paolini?
No. Paolini. Oh. He spelled it wrong. Yeah.
Paolini. That's the person playing now, right?
It's Paolini.
Paolini.
Yes, yeah.
Paolini.
Or Paolini.
Paolini, it says.
Paolini.
Paolini. Okay. No, that works. Paolini.
Okay.
Yeah.
To win Wimbledon for me for $300 at 60-1 at Circa. And, of course, I was out of town, so I couldn't get it in. And I said, well, I found 40-1. I'm back east. He said, nah, skip it.
Wow.
Oh, man.
60-1 at Circa.
Let me tell you, that's a hell of a bet. Yeah. Jasmine Paolini got to the finals of the French Open, and here she is trying to get to her second straight slam final, and Donna Vekic's giving her all she can handle right now, but Paolini's got a
– Who is that person right there?
That's Paolini.
That's Paolini.
Oh, that's Paolini. Oh, yeah.
She's the Italian.
She's definitely going to win. No, because this guy – can't, you know, he, that's something that happens to him all the time.
Oh, because you didn't get the bet in.
Didn't get the bet in.
Of course he's going to win.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, this is not the championship. Feelings. This is the semi.
Oh, this is the semi.
Yeah.
Semi, but she is much less than 60 to 1 now.
Yes, she is. That is correct. Your math is correct.
So last week when I got off air and didn't tell you, not that I didn't want it, I just wasn't thinking. I ran right to the airport because
yes, you did. You sprinted out of here.
Yeah.
He sprints out of here, and then like I get a text a few hours later. He goes, "Yeah, I'm in.
Where's that?
Where are you? Charleston?
Oh, I was in Charleston, South Carolina for a night.
Beautiful city.
It's very nice there.
America's hidden gem. Yep.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
So I was there for one night. I drove to Myrtle Beach with my assistant. My right-hand man lives in Charleston. And then I drove to Myrtle Beach. I have a couple of good friends there, some big money guys, big, you know, gamblers, big gamblers. They love talking about things, and they're both getting in the circuit contest. And then I went up to Foxwoods I knew I had a lot of futures to bet and stuff that was on the board. I thought it was really good value. I just didn't think I was going to bet that much. I did it again. Here's the pile.
Oops, I did it again.
Here's the pile, as you could see. A pile of tickets, and literally...
That's all at DraftKings?
Yeah, just pick a ticket. Just pick any ticket.
As a matter of fact, I will, Bill.
Yeah, this is like a magic trick.
By the way, if I ask Bill what he bet, he has no idea.
No, so you pick a ticket there. What'd you get?
You bet Dallas Turner to go under 7.75 sacks.
Right. Yes. Yeah, and not only that,
By the way, they have to do that because you get half sacks.
Sack, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I actually re-bet Dallas Turner a few times too in there. But yeah, so they're all, and that's season long sacks. Now, obviously, people understand, I'm sure, I would think, there's a built-in edge in betting unders on these season-long props. You know, injuries, different things. Now, sometimes it's baked in the line, but I still think the value – no, I actually know the value. Listen, sack props last year, I think I went 7-1 on sack props last year at DraftKings. But I have to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, that was not a negligible amount of money either.
No. Yeah. This was close to six figures in bets. Yeah. They were very good to me again over there. And, you know, it's, you know what I like? The team that works at the DraftKings, the guy that runs it and his guy and his people that are in there, they're just really good to me. And they make calls over to Vegas, and amazingly, I live in Vegas. I have to leave Vegas, but they make calls over to Vegas to say, "Hey, Bill Krakenberger's here, and he's betting these things." And amazingly, they don't move a lot of these things. So I give them 15 minutes. I talked to the guy. I said, "Give me a max bet."
So wait, they're calling the DraftKings.
They're
Vegas
calling DraftKings
office.
Here, okay. Over here. The risk to tell them that I'm there, and I get 15 minutes to go back to the counter. Instead of going to the kiosk and circumventing limits, which I like to do, but I actually go. They gave me a good size bet, really good size. Matter of fact, it's probably four times what Atlantic City gives me. And then I go back to the counter again. If it didn't move, if I want to bet it again, I bet it again. And I bet a lot of things again. And some things they have opinions on. So even though I'm a winning sports bettor, some things they do have opinions on, and they kept some things, regular lines there. Then they didn't move some things. I was surprised. Like I bet a look ahead line week, whatever week 10 in the NFL. I bet two of them, and literally I got down like 5,000 each. I didn't plan to do that, but I'm sick. I just want to keep on doing it until you yell uncle. It's a sickness. Yeah. It really
How
is.
How much will it take till they move?
I really didn't want to bet that much on those two, but I did because they kept on disrespecting me by not moving. No.
I was going to say, they respected you so much, they moved nothing.
No, they moved nothing. Yeah. They moved nothing, so I bet.
Can I grab a couple more?
Oh, yeah. Grab anything you want. It's like a magic trick.
People are probably like, could you read more of these?
Yeah, no. Just grab a couple.
I'm going to grab a
bunch. What
do
you got there?
Raiders regular season division wins under 2.5.
I want to tell you something.
Plus 105.
You picked one. I wish you didn't pick.
Sorry about that.
No, I'll give it out to the public. Go ahead.
Can we get more?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Bears regular season division wins under 2.5. Yeah. That's plus 155.
There you go. Like that one.
plus 155 is the key.
I picked the good ones, didn't I? Yeah. Commanders under 2.5.
Sorry about that. I know.
Under 2.5 regular season division wins. How dare you? Minus 105.
Yeah, sorry.
And then the Steelers, we were just talking about this, under 2.5 division wins, even money. Yeah. By the way,
those division wins.
I didn't even know they had those markets up.
So I was going to say,
that's
those,
great.
That's, I think
not
that's
only
a new
that,
market
on a
year.
Couple of them, on a couple things, I would have bet much, much more. They did respect me and move on them after two times.
Bill's pulling him back now. He's
yeah,
like,
no, you can't touch no more. but yeah, no, there's just some really good, some nice edges there to be had, I thought. And you know, it's funny because you guys know I actually do. I'm in the pick selling business. But I can't give that out to customers because it's only draft. You know, some people that sell picks,
right?
It really pisses me off. They say, oh, you can go under 2.5 wins at DraftKings only. Well, DraftKings, everyone doesn't have DraftKings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not fair.
No.
But that's what they do to pad their record. And it bothers me, but I'll never do that. No.
Dr. Bob always had a rule. Has to be available at three, a minimum of three different sports books.
Yeah, no.
We try to be careful about that on long shots, too, because so much of the golf we end up is betting is here at Circa, where the odds are so much longer, usually, than most other shops around the country. So you got to make sure if you're recommending something at a certain price, right, are you going to recommend it at the same price that's more widely available.
By the way, can someone just please tell us, I'm sorry to be like distracted here, can someone please tell us what Donna Vekic is going through? Because she is like weeping in the, now she's back on the court and she's just fighting through whatever she's crying about.
She's probably been threatened by the person that bet the 60-1 or wanted to bet the 60-1.
No, that's not it.
No, I'm only kidding. I'm joking.
6-5, by the way, on serve now. Vekic serving to stay in the match. Yeah.
That's funny. I don't know much about tennis, but when you serve, you have an edge, right?
Yeah, if you supposedly, right, unless your serve is horrific. But
right.
Yes, typically, women's tennis, you get broken much more than you do on the men's side. The men's best servers rarely get broken.
Right.
But on the ladies' tour, the serves are not nearly as
rarely
dominant.
Rarely get broken.
Oh, the best men's servers?
Wow.
Oh, my God. You have some guys who are serve bots, for God's sakes.
Well, give me a name that I know.
Well, the most famous thing was, you remember John Isner, an American tennis player?
Absolutely not.
Okay. He played a match at Wimbledon that lasted 3 days because he and his opponent couldn't break each other's serve.
Wow. So that's how strong the serve is.
Oh, yeah. We're currently on tour. You have, like, Uber Orkots and Milos Raonic and this kid... Mepechi Perikard, like these guys' serves are, if they're on, right? Or Nick Kyrgios, for instance.
I know that name.
Yeah, Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah.
His serve, like he always says, he goes, it was always just a natural movement for me. If he's on with his serve, it's virtually impossible, especially on grass and hard courts. Clay's a little different.
Right.
But on these surfaces, it's almost impossible to return if they're on. Yet, the gods like Djokovic and Nadal and those guys figured out a way. They're the only exceptions, right? But, it's much harder on the men's tour for the greats.
Listen, I want to tell you another story. It involves the French Open 2025. I put a note down on my phone when the person told me.
Just bet ego.
So French Open is next year?
Yes,
2025, about a year from now?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's just ended.
Obviously, 2025. Yep. Dumb question to myself. So listen, he goes into Caesars. He wants to bet this tournament. He wants to bet this tournament. I don't. He didn't tell me the player he was going to bet, but he wants to
bet Wimbledon.
He wants to bet Wimbledon.
Yeah,
which is the day before Wimbledon.
Yeah,
and is Wimbledon that's the biggest tournament of the year, right?
It's one of the four slams. It's considered the most prestigious. Yeah.
Oh, okay, so he wants to bet Wimbledon, and goes to the counter and makes a bet, has his ticket on this person here, finds out it's the French Open.
Who was it?
I believe it's one of these people that are playing now that got deep. But anyway,
that's a different person than the one you mentioned before?
Different person. We'll talk about it in a second. I'll tell you the bottom line in a second.
More with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, Unscripted, right here at a Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on a Numbers Game, live from Bar Canada. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book prime time. Yo, Gil, I think it would be a fitting tribute to your guest yesterday to refer to Cleveland's baseball team as the Jardians for the rest of this season. All right, we could do it that way, too. Colin, Uncle Bush, we need a Jardians Lady and John Legasa segment where she sings John's analytics. He's got a little ex-fip with a story to tell. Jason, ice cold gambler. He said, Gil, I'll trade you secret sushi spots. Mine is in San Diego. There's also a language barrier. I need the one in Vegas as I do split time there. Jason H11, probably not the popular opinion, but I hope the sushi place asks you not to give out the name. I know I can ride the Sigma Derby thing to death, but the sushi place is a staple of the show. Let's see.
I'm kind of with him on that one. Like, this is going to get way more fascinating if the sushi place tells you not to give out the name.
It will be fascinating. Jerry Bo Knows is not happy with me. He said, throwing in a WNBA team playing with the same passion as playing for your country in a tournament that's every 4 years, that's something. You're better than that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Jerry Bonos, whatever you say. Trip Tepper, I have bet the Raiders 18-1 to be last winless team at DK. Panthers being an opponent in week 3 is an obstacle, but is Minshew or O'Connell really scaring you away? Raiders had some spots they could win, though. So.
Yeah, I'm not much of a believer in that team, but.
Yeah. Kiss the degenerate. Hey, Gil, if you announce the infamous sushi spot, what the heck are you guys going to talk about for 2 whole hours? Jokes aside, I'm very curious if the restaurant agrees to this, given their small scale. Trust the glove. I think Vekic is ill, like Sinner was. She has looked like she is shot, but so did Sinner.
Oh, I texted Zach Cohen. He said it's just emotions getting the best of her, and she's exhausted, apparently.
Yeah.
So he said the whole crowd is rooting for Paolini.
They are in a tiebreaker. The whole crowd is rooting for Paolini?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're in a tiebreaker now. So this could go either way for Wimbledon's final appearance. NFL totals. I really enjoyed the Deanna Colon, a.k.a. OG Jardian's Lady interview yesterday. Since we have to digest commercials watching live sports, we need more segments like this. Kudos. We got nothing but positive feedback on that yesterday. Everyone seemed to love her. But, I mean, that was her, though, right? Because she was so bubbly.
Oh,
if she were a different person, that might have gone the complete opposite direction.
Yeah, she was willing to answer your questions as best as she could.
As best as she could.
Like, yeah.
That last one, she had to sort of pick her words about how much she got paid. And she's like laughing, she said. And she left it at that.
What did she say? She's not making Brad Pitt money?
Yeah, that's not like that one. Bill Krakenberger joins us. But a couple things. One, before we get to continue that story you were telling, was it a hot dog controversy now?
Okay, so I'm going to do my best here. This started to come out yesterday, but there is a controversy over the amount of hot dogs that Nick Weary, I believe that's how you pronounce his name.
He's the guy
husband
who's engaged.
Of Mickey Sudo or engaged.
Yeah, Mickey Sudo's.
There is some controversy over the number of hot dogs he ate, and I guess there is video evidence of him moving a plate full to boost his score or something.
Jesus.
I don't know. But the betting numbers, the totals were right around there. So Eddie Moneyline tweeted us in where he had a ticket under 47.5. I think this is his ticket, Eddie. Sorry. Where originally Weary was scored at 46.75, but apparently it just got moved 5 more, I believe.
Wait, but didn't he cash his ticket?
Yeah,
already?
He had a paper ticket.
No, this looks like it is from an app.
Yeah. Oh, so
you know, that's why I'll tell you right now. You got to go up to the window and cash your tickets right away. I'm just saying. You got to, you know what I mean? And point, what do you have, 46.75?
Yeah, I don't know why the app would have held it up, though.
You know what the problem with that event is, though, watching it live, is that you're
it's disgusting.
It's disgusting. One, but then you're watching the scoreboard. The live scoreboard is happening, right? There's people right behind doing the tally.
Yes.
But you're watching on the TV. You're watching the scoreboard
on the
bottom left. And it's like someone's 42. Then you don't see it moving, right? All of a sudden it goes 44, 45, 46, right? So it's you don't really know what you're watching.
How long are we going to have the same problem in sports, Gil? Put a microchip in the hot dog, and then we'll know exactly how many have been consumed.
Eat the microchips.
So the guy ate 3/4 of a hot dog. Kelly's
in favor of not scoring it until, let's just say, things have moved along.
Right. Very good. Very good.
Voiding.
That's the best breakdown I can give of that. Sorry, read more about it.
It's a lesson to everyone to go cash your tickets right away after an event, though. This way nothing gets regraded or rescored or, you know, you get your money.
It's also a lesson in this is where having paper tickets is better than having an app,
very
right?
Very good.
Yeah,
very
more
good.
Than anything.
Paper tickets. But, you know.
You were saying, though.
The French Open thing.
Yes.
So I thought it was just not nice the way this went down. He bet the French Open 2025 instead of Wimbledon, which is going on now. I can't even believe the French Open's be on the board in big letters in front of him. So, of course, he got confused. But it's his fault. It's not Caesar's fault. It's his fault he bet the wrong bet. But the part I don't like is he went back up to the counter to change the ticket, to cancel the ticket, and they wouldn't cancel it. And I thought that was really poor.
Come on.
Yeah, that's
it's a year from now.
Caesars just, as we know, Caesars just went downhill when it comes to the sports book. They're just looking to grab every dollar off every living human.
It's incredible. Yeah. Really, for an event next year, he wanted to bet Wimbledon. You couldn't just give him. It's so dumb.
Couldn't just give him his money back. Jesus. Now I talk about the good stuff and being a winning sports bettor and how, you know, sharp I am with things. The Fountain Blue. So a buddy of mine, of course we know who Randy is, says, oh, you got to go to the Fountain Blue. Give him a big play and give him a big first-time play, and you should generate a really good offer.
Comes
I go in there,
yeah.
Give him a big play. I give him a really big size play. I lose $4,000, by the way. Thanks, Randy. Lose $4,000.
Shots fired.
And so I'm waiting for this offer to come. And now I realize why the Fountain Blue was just dead. They gave me $50 a week for 4 weeks. And I played for hours and hours. And by the way, they gave me $20 in food. You know,
I think I got the same thing. And I was in there like one time, and I guarantee you betting way less than Bill Krakenberger.
I can guarantee you that I was betting $50 a hand for hours.
Yes, so, way less than Bill Krakenberger.
So, you know, if that's generating that offer, maybe it's just a local. Some of the strip casinos don't give the locals what they give out-of-town people. But for that place, it's almost like a local place. It's down in the dead end of the strip. And, you know, this is the reason why. One of the reasons why I think they will fail getting in customers, gambling customers. They may get the non-gaming revenue people coming in and wanting to stay in Fountain Blue.
So here's my question, and I honestly don't know the answer to this because you know this stuff better than me. Maybe it happens all the time, but the question is, has there ever been a new property here in Las Vegas, in your memory, that failed to understand that side of things as badly as they have?
You're right. They really do. They just think people are going to come in there because of the Fountain Blue name, because of Miami.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah.
It looks like a 1973 Miami airport.
Yes, it does. Yeah. I think it's a very interesting situation, Bill, because, like, I mean, I got those same comps after going in there one time. Same thing. And barely gambling. But the way I put it together right away was, well, anybody who's been in there, nobody's in the casino gambling. There is barely anybody. So the way I looked at it was, okay, this is smart of them. Give out some of the comps and free play and stuff to locals.
Right.
But if they're not scaling it up properly, then that's a problem. You're not going in there for that.
Now I have a question. I hate to embarrass anybody on air, Kelly. I seen this tweet yesterday.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
You seen this?
That's
tweet.
Kelly Bidlin. Yeah.
Kelly's getting four twos with a four. What is the game you're playing? Double bonus or triple
double?
Let me see. Is it 9-6? It's 9-6, so it's not that terribly of a game. My question is, how much money is Veasan paying you? I mean, you're playing $10 a hand video poker. Do you know how fast money can go at $10 a hand video poker? I mean, but I expect I might see you in a meeting. Hi, my name's Kelly.
Bill, I'll retell the beginning of the show.
Oh.
This was, so I was playing, usually I'll play five a push is what I'm doing, okay?
Yep.
Now, I was at the M yesterday. I was down there for a bit. I was playing for a while. I was down, hit four aces on five a push, got up a few $100. I was like, all right, I'm out of here.
Send
time for me to go home, right? I forgot about one extra ticket I had in my pocket as I was walking out. It was like $110, I think. So I did the gambler's thing of, you know what, let me just pop this in a machine real quick. I'm going to bump it up to 10 a push,
and
we'll see what happens.
Okay.
Second hand, I hit a four of a kind. I think it was four tens. And then three hands later, I hit that. And you're just like, this is dumb.
And I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
I'm trying to help you.
I'm very responsible to try to help my
co-guy. No, you are right. You can't. Yeah, that video poker can get out of control.
So the M gave me a great offer. They gave me $1,000 to walk in one day. The host gave me $1,000. And then finally, I ran lucky there, too. I was up. I have the text on my phone. I could show you the text. I won $33,000 after four trips. And they were giving me $400 every weekend to come in. And I was playing $6,250 a hand, playing a game with multiple. You know, the variance is so much better. In other words, rather than playing a single one line, you're better off playing 10 lines. And the variance is much easier to stay afloat. And then they said, Bill, we can't give you any more free player comps.
Oh, yeah,
they didn't want to give me anyone. And they're basically saying, we don't want your business anymore. I'm playing a negative EV game. Overall, I'm supposed to lose. But bottom line is I won. They don't want you. Losersonly.com down at the end.
That move you pulled outside of the casino, that was how every one of our AC Atlantic City trips ended as a kid. Every one of them. Come back. More with Crackman, Bill Krakenberger, Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.